It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
There she is. Hello there.
Hey, Jane.
Hello. I am so happy. Thanks for joining me in the next room. My guest tonight is Joelle Simone Anthony, aka the Grave Woman. You can find this extraordinary woman everywhere. She has a fabulous YouTube channel. She's very active on social media with Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. She's a licensed funeral director, but she absolutely took a pivot in her life and kind of went on the sacred grief path as a death educator. And I'm so happy that you're here to join us. You're in Atlanta, right?
I am in Atlanta, Jane.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thanks for taking the time. I know it's a tough time at night, Saturday night. You're like, you'd probably rather, you know, be going out to dinner. And here you are going to have a little death chat with Jane. So
there is literally no place else I would rather be than with you. Yay. And at the beautiful Dying Expo.
That is awesome. So, you know, talk to me about what motivated you, first of all, to come into this community, to want to embrace being a funeral director? Whatever brought that about?
I tell people all the time, Jane, I didn't choose this path. This path absolutely chose me or was predestined for me. I have been morbidly curious since I can remember having thoughts. I've always been curious about what happens with people, not just death, but with people. I'm that annoyingly curious person that has questions about everything. So when my great grandmother passed away, when I was like maybe 5 or 6 years old, I had millions of questions. Why are we watching her lay in this box? Why are we standing in this room and everybody's crying? If she's sleeping forever, who did her hair? Who did her makeup? Why are we putting her in the ground without blankets? Just so many different questions.
Wow.
And I also had an uncle, around that time, who was a mortician, and he would answer all of my questions about what happened at the funeral home. And after a certain point, I guess he got sick of me asking and said, okay, I'll show you. So
wow.
He started letting come to the funeral home with him and helping him dress the deceased. And his thing was teaching me about respecting the deceased and the grieving, how it wasn't okay to make fun of people when they were upset and laugh when they're crying and upset. So it's just so many different things that have happened over my life that have just led me to this moment right here and right now.
Wow. You were led, weren't you? How old were you when your uncle actually took you to the funeral home?
I was about 8 years old. And even prior to that, where I grew up in Beaufort, South Carolina, in the Gullah and Geechee culture, death is not hidden from children. My mom and my grandmothers and aunts were very involved in what's called the Missionary Society at church. And we'd go visit people in nursing homes that were in transition. When people would pass away, we would go to the family's home or to the funeral home and take them food and comfort them, pray with them, just be there with them, and even go to funerals and sit in the back and just watch everything happen. So death has never been something that's been hidden from me.
You know, how cool is that? You know, this Gullah and Geechee culture and the fact that in your culture, you were not, it wasn't taboo. It wasn't rightful. You actually embraced what was the next journey for us. You know, we're here, we're human, and, you know, we're in flesh and bone, and then we cross over wherever we go, however you may believe. But for your culture, it was embraced. And that's beautiful. I love that. So that drew you to wanting to become a death educator.
So honestly, I have to be honest. I come from a family of educators, and I tried my hardest to run from that path. Like, I'm like, I'm never going to be a teacher. I don't want to work with people's children. I don't want to be responsible for teaching anybody anything. And I have a mentor named Anita Pollard Grant. She's known as the National Board Review Coach. She helps students pass the National Board exam that we have to take in order to become licensed professionals. And she contacted me to interview me for her Facebook channel or group or something like that. And she said, Joelle, you know, you can turn your experience and all of your YouTube content into continuing education credit for professionals. Wow. And help them learn from the mistakes that you've made or the things that you've learned. And at the time, it really didn't settle well with me. I was still trying to run away. But it dawned on me that when I was in mortuary school, we didn't learn anything about taking care of people that looked like me, people that had hair like me, people that were of my culture. And I've always talked a lot about being a Black woman in this industry and some of the challenges that I've faced, particularly here in the South. So the first course that I created was about cultural competency and having conversations with families and professionals about taking care of Black decedents in the embalming room and in the funeral home. So once I put that course out and got the response from the professionals that had enrolled, it was like immediate addiction. And during COVID, during last year, the whole incident with George Floyd happened. And I was so upset and so angry and had so much energy. And being the person that I am, anger is not a natural state for me. I had to get it out. So again, my mentor and I collaborated on a course about racism in death care from all aspects. And when I tell you it took off like wildfire, it took off like wildfire. And I was like, you know what? There's power in this. There's power in education. And I haven't looked back since.
Oh, I cannot. I'm literally getting rushes. There's everything to love about this story. It is about you really following this path, this gift, this thing that you had inside of you from being a young woman. And you're a Black woman. And you know that you need to be in that world, that educated world, and work with this industry that wasn't really embracing you.
Not at all. Unfortunately, the death care industry as a whole is very whitewashed, to speak bluntly. From
That's fine.
The education to the services, the way things are marketed, the demographics that are targeted in marketing for pre-planning. And I had the platform, I had the audience, and I had to do something with it. And I'm going to continue to do something with it until things change.
I love it. I think that is so powerful. Isn't that why we're here? You know, there's this amazing consciousness and a shift happening on the planet. And those of us that are stepping in and answering the call and not backing away and being afraid of what someone's going to think of us, right? It's time. It's time to step into that power. I love what you're doing. So talk to me about what's next. Where do you take this death education? You know, you have the Grave Woman, you're doing a podcast. How can people connect with you, find you, you know, send you money, subscribe, underwrite your programs? What's best for you right now?
So I'm going to answer that in the way that you asked it.
Okay.
What's next? What's next is shifting even more into education and embracing more of a spiritual approach, which is all about oneness. Even though I have conversations about racism and separation that exist, the ultimate goal is to make the industry itself more inclusive and more diverse. Okay. And I feel like that's very tied to spirituality. I've been on a spiritual journey for quite some time now. And the deeper you know, the deeper you go on the journey, the more that you realize that there is no separation between anything. Right. So even though the conversation is about racism, death, and competency, it's with the mission and the intention of bringing oneness to the industry. How can people find me? Type in The Grave Woman on Google. I am on YouTube. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere, literally. That was another unexpected thing that happened when I truly embraced the educator role. The brand blew up in ways that I could not have expected, which tells me that it was a part of the plan, the big divine plan. It has nothing to do with me. I'm the vessel. So if you want to send me money, I can put my PayPal link, my Cash App link in the account, in the chat.
Please do.
And all funds that I receive definitely go towards furthering the education that I'm putting out there, the courses, the content. It takes a lot of time to put these courses together. It takes money to get them certified. I'm trying to work with my mentor to bridge the death care aspect and the healthcare aspect. So we're working on getting many of the courses that both she offers and I offer and that we offer together certified on psychology boards, on nursing and medical boards, continuing educations for first responders, such as police officers, forensic staff, because like the death care industry, it has arms everywhere. This conversation has arms and can touch everywhere. So yeah, I hope I answered all your questions.
Yeah, you did. That's so good. Okay, so I'm going to circle back to the spiritual aspect because you and I share that passion, you know, of kind of reaching out and all being connected and being one with it. When you were this young girl and you were curious and you were asking all these questions, did you kind of feel like there was something bigger or divine that you were supposed to do on the planet?
I can't say that I was aware of it, but I think I shared this story with you before. And if my boyfriend will hand me my phone, I'll show you the picture. I drew this picture when I was 8 years old of myself standing in a cemetery with a microphone in front of me. And it said, "I am the grave woman."
No, you did not.
I did. I have
That's wild. That is so cool.
I have no recollection of this, but my grandmother saved the photo in a photo album. When I went away to college, she gave it to me in a memory book, a keepsake book.
Wow.
I didn't see that photo again until I was just about finished with mortuary school. So again, that divine timing.
Yes. Yeah, no, you have never shared that with me. That is a story I would not forget. And that is a story that I now will use on my podcast, The Next Room, and share with people, because I just think there's something really super divine and magical with children. You know, they're coming on the planet. The energy's new. They haven't been told to not like people because of the color of their skin, or they haven't, you know, you're taught hatred. I mean, come on. You know, babies don't come on the planet not digging their fellow human being, you know? It's a taught behavior and one that we really need to move through. It's time. My goodness. I love that you're doing this. I love that you're stepping into this arena. Are you finding, you said that everybody's embracing it, so you're finding a lot of open doors right now. Are there any that you're having difficulty opening and that you would like to see a little bit more entry or something that you'd like to do?
I'm probably going to get some backlash for saying this, but I don't care. Honestly, the biggest resistance comes from mortuary schools, the place where we as professionals are taught to serve the public. And that is mind blowing to me. There are certain programs that I've reached out to that have been very receptive. But on the other side, there have been programs that I've reached out to that have blatantly told me, "We don't want anything to do with this. Our program is fine as it is."
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I see what we have to do now.
And amazing.
We've got work to do.
Because, I tell people this all the time and they don't believe me when I say this, but mortuary school does not teach you how to be a funeral director. Mortuary school is designed to pass the national board exam.
Yeah.
And whatever the board has deemed is necessary for that exam is what we have to learn in school. So the ultimate goal, especially with the cultural competency and the conversations about race, is to get that national board change to reflect not only conversations about Black communities, but BIPOC communities as a whole.
Okay. Wow. That's really good. You are on a mission, and it's an important time, and you are stepping into it. And when things occur like the George Floyd murder, you know, I mean, that shook you to your core. And that's when you're like, okay, there's a pivot that's going to happen here. And obviously it has. What do you love to do the most out of everything that you're doing funeral director, death educator, podcaster? What is it that like really lights you up?
I tell my boyfriend all the time, all I want to do is talk, teach, and create. That's all I want to do.
Okay.
Talk, teach, and create. And when I say talk, I mean do things like this, have conversations like this, talk to families about pre-planning and the importance of pre-planning, talk to families about what their options are as far as alternatives and what's out there for memorialization and disposition of the bodies. Teach. I want to keep creating content that's out of box and that stimulates really deep conversations about what we do as professionals, but I also want to teach consumers about grief and loss from a more spiritual perspective and create. I do a thing called the Grief Art Workshop where I send art supplies to anyone who registers. And we have had so much fun at the two events that we've had. People have just been so open. We've laughed. I've almost cried a couple times just listening to the stories of loss. And we create and express our grief and our mourning and our loss and the things that we're going through on canvas. We express it with art, and what we've received back, the feedback has just been so touching and moving, and it's really helping people. So talk, teach, and
create.
That's what I love to do. And I just wanted to show you this while I had it up. This is the photo.
Let me see.
I don't know if you can see it.
I don't know if I can see it. Holy crap. Oops.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. That's
wow.
It.
That is, well, there you go. Boy, it's, I don't know what that is. Is that predestiny? I mean, it's just amazing.
I truly believe in, and we believe here in my culture, deeply in ancestors. And
yes.
I definitely believe that the work that I'm doing is not my own. It's
okay.
Definitely work from source. Again, I'm the vessel and the expression for the moment. But I feel like I am a part of this moving legacy that's going to continue beyond me and that is continuing through me simultaneously.
Okay, that's great. So now you opened up this other door. I'm so into the ancestral thing. So the Gullah and Geechee culture, for those out in the audience that are like, what the heck is that? Tell us what Gullah and Geechee is.
Okay, so Gullah and Geechee culture is predominant or really only found in the southeastern part of the country. I am from a town called Beaufort, South Carolina. Beaufort, South Carolina is home of the Port Royal Sound. The Port Royal Sound is where just about every African ancestral lineaged person in the United States can trace their lineage, because this is the port where the majorities of individuals that were stolen from Africa were bought as enslaved people and distributed as slaves through the United States. So that alone should tell you the amount of history, knowledge, information, and just ancestral wisdom that is in this place.
Wow.
It's magic.
Wow.
Here. That's the only way that I can describe it. People are more familiar with Charleston or Hilton Head, maybe even Savannah, which are all surrounding areas. But if you guys ever get the chance to visit Beaufort, South Carolina, it's definitely from a historical and even a aesthetic perspective, a wonderful place to be. I think we were voted the most beautiful city in the country a couple of times. But during slavery or during the Civil War, slaves were just left when soldiers left to go fight. And when the soldiers came back, they were surprised because the slaves and the white people that were left here when the soldiers left or the men left were living in peace and harmony together. And that peace and harmony meant that we were able to still practice cultural and spiritual practices that were native to our countries in Africa. So there's a lot of spiritual energy here as well.
So cool. You know, I told you I have a really good friend that just moved there, and I'm actually coming there in, I don't know when, but in the new year in 2022. Okay. So it'd be super cool. Yeah. Oh no, that's like a foregone conclusion. It's just, that's such a necessity in my life to like grab you and hug you tight and just start brainstorming. I want to circle back to the grief art workshop. What is that? Let's talk about that, because that like struck a chord. I'm like, oh, that sounds really fun, because I love art. Everyone's grieving, and what a great way to get it out. So what do you do in these grief art workshops?
So let me just preface this by saying it's not limited. Access is not limited to individuals who have lost a loved one or person. We're all grieving our reality because of the pandemic. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people have had marriages, friendships, relationships, parentships, whatever type of ships end or be affected because of life. People are just having a hard time. The holidays are coming up, and that's a really hard time for people. So I wanted to do something that was non-intrusive, fun, relaxing, and allowed us to express that grief and that mourning and those emotions that you may not even know you have, doing something that I love, which is art. And like I said, I mail out paint supplies, canvas, paintbrushes, easels, mail out. We have an amazing playlist, and we just talk. We talk about the chakras, and I try to theme each workshop around one of the seven chakras, which I can tell you more, you know, I love chakras. Around one of the seven chakras, we've done the heart and we've done the solar plexus chakra. And we talk about how grief affects that chakra. And then we express that grief and open those chakras or allow emotion and sacred energy to come through that chakra onto the easel in whatever way you choose. I don't tell people what to paint, what colors they have to use. I simply provide a space for you to express yourself creatively. And the thing I love about paint is that once you touch it, it becomes yours. Once you put your hand on that brush and that energy is flowing through that paint, it's your story. And you get to tell that story in a way that resonates with you. And we share a space doing that.
You're so cool, man. I am so into what you are doing. I love that you are expressing yourself and you're taking all of this energy that came to you through your ancestors and your spirituality, and you're just pulling it all together, and you're here to help us move forward. You know, what a beautiful thing about consciousness and the spirituality and the side of it. Really lovely.
Thank you. And I love what you said about expression. A lot of times when people think about grief, we think that you have to cry or that we automatically just walk around, you know, aware of our feelings all day when we're grieving. And the truth is, sometimes grief just gets stuck, you know? It just gets stuck. You don't know what to do with it. You're tired of crying. You can't scream. You can't go punch something. You can't really do what you want to do because we'd probably all be in an insane asylum. So the grief art workshop is all about creative expression. And eventually I want to get into things like pottery or candle making, just different expressions. But because of the pandemic, I wanted to do something that was as safe as possible for all the participants. And of course, there's only one of me right now. Or forever, I guess, if you believe that. I necessarily don't. But there's only one physical version of me. So doing it virtually has allowed us to have participants from Canada, from parts of the country I've never seen or will probably never see. So it's just an open environment and an open space for everyone to come together and express their grief creatively.
For everyone that is just falling in love with you right now, what is the best way to contact you, Joelle?
I am putting it in the chat. The best way to contact me is to go through my website, thegravewoman.com.
Awesome. All right.
When you get on the website, you will be asked to enter your first name, your last name, and your email address. You can click on the contact page and send me an email directly through the website, or you can contact me at thegravewoman@gmail.com, which I'm also putting in the chat.
Awesome.
And I'm also very active on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. Very, very active. Facebook, it might take me a minute to get back to you, but on those other three platforms, you might get a reply from me within minutes.
That's awesome. Are you open to collaborating? What's the big dream for the Grave Woman?
The big dream for the Grave Woman is to have a virtual funeral service and death care university.
Mm.
I'm going to share this with you, Jane. Only one other person knows about this, and it's the person sitting next to me, which was my partner. But I also would like to open a grief alchemy studio, which to me looks like a metaphysical bookstore and a place for healing for those who are grieving. That's as detailed as I'm going to get right now, but that's my ultimate dream. And it'll be a place for me to do all the things that I love, to talk, teach, and create, and host wonderful individuals like yourself for readings, and just get into all of the wonderful, juicy, spiritual stuff that plays a role in our journeys with grief.
Yeah, you are going to do that. You are. There's no doubt. It's just, and so it is what I will say to you.
Thank you.
Wow, what a pleasure to have you today on the Beautiful Dying Expo. My guest is Joelle Simone Anthony, the Grave Woman. Wow, just a beautiful, fascinating story. And I love that you are really steeped in your integrity and you're authentic and you're trying to move your culture forward and you're not apologetic about it, nor should you be. At this point, it's like, let's go. For goodness sakes, it's, you know, we're heading into 2022. It's time to move us forward. So in closing, we have a couple more minutes. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you'd like to share?
Sure. I'd like to invite everyone to participate in the Chakra Grief Workshop that is taking place on December 12th of this year. I wanted to do this workshop again because a lot of times grief gets stuck and we tend, especially in the Black community, we tend to approach grief from a religious standpoint or a dogmatic standpoint. If you're not in the Black community, a lot of times we approach grief from a traditional standpoint. For example, we'll say, look up grief and we'll get Kubler-Ross's examples of the stages of grief. However, I believe that there's a deeper connection to the sacred energy that flows through our energy portals, being our chakras, and how grief affects those chakras, as well as our anatomy, which those chakras anatomically align with. So during the workshop, we'll be talking about grief from a spiritual and chakra perspective and doing a lot of amazing things. I'll put the link in the chat as well. And I invite everyone to join for a special price that I'm doing in honor of the Beautiful Dying Expo and in honor of 1111. It's on the website, but I'll put the link in the chat as well.
Oh, good. And that is on December 12th. And so it's a virtual. And what's the name of it again?
It's the Chakra Grief Workshop. And it's a workshop and not a course, because we're going to be digging deep and you're going to have to do the work to get out of it.
I love it. I'm in and I'll help you promote it. So,
thank you.
I will talk all about it. So that's great. So December 12th, the link is in the chat room. It is the Chakra Grief Workshop. And how long does the workshop, is it a couple hours? How long is it?
It's a 3-hour workshop and it's going to take place from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So earlier in the day for those of you on the West Coast.
Okay.
And I think in the middle of the night for anybody outside of the country.
And it's just going to be like a Zoom thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. So everyone can attend.
Everyone. Yes.
I love it. Well, good. Well, I will help you get the word out, and we're obviously spreading the word now. So, Joelle, I'm just so pleased that you were here with me today. And I know it was last minute because my guest, I had booked a wonderful man who's authored a few books, and he had to have emergency surgery. And so, you know, it was great. Michelle's like, how about the Grave Woman? And I'm like, oh my God, I'd love to have her on, but she's so busy. I don't know if I can get her on the short notice. And so I'm so happy that you would move things around and take the time on a Saturday night to sit here and have a little death chit chat with your sister and and just share with us what's going on in your life.
Thank you for having me, Jane. Like I said, there's no place I would rather be.
Well, I just adore you. So here's to a great new year, because I'm just feeling like there's some really good things that are on the horizon for you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. You've been listening to The Next Room and watching The Next Room with Joelle Simone Anthony, the Grave Woman. Wow, what a bright light. I mean, I'm signing up. I will be there on December 12th. Will you be there on December 12th? Let's dig deep and let's get busy with our grief chakras and find out what that's all about.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.